A reading from 1 John chapter 2. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. O Lord, have mercy upon us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Grace, mercy, and peace are ours this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
1 John chapter 2. Some pretty simple equations, actually. Really straightforward. If you keep the commandments, well, then you know God. If you say that you know God, but then you don't keep the commandments, well, you're just a liar. If you keep the word, then the love of God is made perfect in you. So whoever abides in him ought to walk in the way in which he walks. So all we have to do is keep all the commandments and we're set, right? How's that going? Not so well. And it's interesting, as I was wrestling with this text and I was looking here in our passage this morning, but as well as throughout 1 John, there's this word that is used over and over and over again as John calls on people to abide in him, to abide in the light, to over and over and over again to abide. And you know, it's a fascinating choice of words, because the reality is that God could have used different language here. That God could have talked about the victorious Christian life, whatever those words mean exactly. And he could have talked about conquering, about going forward in the name of Christ and taking new places and new territory. That he could have spoken about, you know, maybe disciplining ourselves, of working harder and training and being better. He could have made the metaphor this one of progress, of advancing into this greater presence in the light. And he doesn't. He tells us to abide, to remain in one place, to pause, and just to be for a while. And you know, it's this common theme throughout 1 John, but the reality is that it is the heart of the Christian life as well, that we abide. We do not conquer, you and I. That's been done for us. We do not advance. We do not take new territory. We do not progress somehow in becoming more holy. We've been declared holy. We abide. You know, we teach you a lot of things here at seminary, things that are good, things like homiletics and church history and confessions and all kinds of really important stuff, and I wouldn't trade any of that for the world. But I'm not sure we do such a great job of teaching you how to abide. In part because it's hard, and in part because I'm not sure we can. Because the reality of coming here to seminary is that you've left behind something. That 2 years ago, when you made the decision to come to seminary, you left behind your old life, either your old college, your old job, your old place to live. And you came here, and you came here knowing that this is temporary. That in 2 years, you're going to receive a vicarage assignment or an internship assignment, and you're going to go there, and that's going to be temporary. And you're going to be there for a year, and if you're an MDiv guy and you're going into the ministry, then you're going to come back for another year, and guess what? That's temporary. And then at the end of all of that, there will come call day, which is, I think, 2 weeks away, right? Everybody mindful of that at this point? It is so very hard to abide when it's all so temporary. You cannot abide when you're constantly looking to what's next. You cannot be in this moment when you're living in the next. And I know that's a hard thing to hear this morning. It's hard for me, I know, as both call and vicarage approached, somehow my focus on the right here and right now just disappeared. Everything was about what was coming. It became very hard to keep things in perspective. I think the great sage and scholar Tom Petty said it well, that the waiting is the hardest part. But understand this morning that even this waiting, even these 2 weeks which will crawl by and fly by at the same time, even this is a gift. The reality is that the whirlwind will come, that there will be time soon in 2 weeks for that the thoughts and hopes and dreams and the plans will take on a real physical form, and the waiting is going to transform into a flurry of preparation. Of moving, of doing last-minute assignments that you haven't thought about yet, of packing and unpacking, the reality is that chaos will come. But for right now, stop and abide. Pause and breathe. Pause and be. Because when we abide, we learn how to rest. We learn how to stop and to breathe and to not do the next right thing for a few minutes, but just to have some time to be children. And that's a hard one for church workers. Had somebody pull me aside on vicarage at one point and comment that it was so wonderful that God used people and so terrible that the church used them up. And there was truth in that. Rest is so essential that it ranks in one of the Ten Commandments when they're given, that somehow resting, this task of abiding and just being is as important as not murdering. Taking that time to abide and to be. When we abide, we understand what John is talking about, that it's not about performance. And there'll be days you'll rejoice in that. I know there are days I got to communion after the sermon, and I was thankful that at least I couldn't screw this up so badly. We're not graded on our performance. It is not that somehow we behave as children of God and we do enough of the right things to convince ourselves and convince Him that therefore we really are children. It flows the other way, that because God has made us His children, then we walk in the light. When we abide, we come to see that. Finally, this morning, when we abide, we realize the most important truth of all, that God abides with us. That in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the doubt and struggle, the midst of the worry, no matter where we go, no matter where we are sent, there is a God in heaven who abides with us, who calls us His beloved children, who knows us by name in our baptism, who feeds us with His body broken, with His blood poured out, who calls us His own. And He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He abides with us. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, hold our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.